Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome. Thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Riddle. I'm here with Laura Heck. If you're new to the podcast, this is a good one because we started out thinking we knew what we were talking about, or at least I did, and we didn't. So we talked about something totally different. So you get to know a little bit of how our brains work and how we adapt when things go awry. There are lots of very cool takeaways that sort of snuck up on me as I was having this chat with Laura, which again, starts out not that great, but I think we end up in the right spot. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Woof, Zach.
Right on, right?
Can we just talk about the,
I'm sorry,
the flawed human being that Zach is right now?
Yeah, it's fine. I suppose so.
So remember that one time, Zach, when I called you out and I said, hey, you're being such a butthead and I have some beef that I need to talk to you about.
Yes.
I would like to call out the beef. Now, first of all, I'd like to show up on this episode as being a really great business partner and friend.
You are.
Can we have that be the takeaway from today?
We can make the theme of the episode today be how great you are.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I try to weave that into every episode, but that's just going to be, if we can make that the title, Jason, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I give a little context?
Sure.
All right. I said, Zach, I'd like to do this in real time because what just happened, I think, is a real learning moment for our listeners. So
it's weird for them, right? Because we're not married.
No.
We're partners. We rely on each other sometimes the same way that married people would. Yeah. So there's principles here that hold up, but there's also exit ramps that most married couples don't have. That should be.
Yeah. I only see you in reality.
I get to hang up and be like,
done.
Bye.
Done with Laura. I'll see you in 7 days. Yeah, yeah. We see each other for 1 hour every week, virtually. But so here's what happened. Zach sends me a text message. Did I miss something?
Did I miss a memo?
Did I miss a memo? And I'm like,
this is what it sounded like coming from me. Did I miss a memo? That was the texting.
All right.
Not, hey, did I miss a memo?
Uh-huh. There was some snarkiness.
Definitely 100%. It was the first one.
Okay. Yeah. And so I just respond back and I'm like, no, what's going on? We're supposed to be recording a podcast and I have not seen my invitation to join the link.
I didn't do the regular thing that I always do, which is send you the thing that we need. And then we meet here. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So anyway, he said, aren't we supposed to have that big interview that we're supposed to do? And right at this very moment. And I said, fuck.
I went apoplectic internally.
I don't know what that word means. Apoplectic.
It means irate. It means I was about to throw something across the house.
Uh-huh. You hit 60 real fast.
And I actually went, Jesus. And I wrote the word Jesus, but it wasn't like, Jesus, help me right now.
Jesus, take the wheel.
It was more like Jesus effing C, you know, like that was, I was like, are you got to be kidding me, Laura? Yeah. Like this is not, well,
no,
one
you
that
said
we
that.
Up.
So I immediately called because now I was worried that we were supposed to be on an interview with someone that we both really respect. And it would be a major, major mess up if we missed the interview, which you had thought we had done.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. I was like, it's today. I read all the stuff. I did all the things. Mm-hmm. I was like, I have my questions ready. I was ready. I was prepped.
So at this point we had exchanged a number of like 4 text messages back and forth. And one of them was me cursing and another one was you using the Lord's name in vain. So
praising
Jesus. So now you know where we're at and I call you and can you just describe how you showed up at 9 o'clock in the morning after not speaking to me?
I said, hello. And you said, I don't think this is today. And I said, why not?
Yes. It just like that. Uh-huh.
I mean, Laura, this was your thing. Uh-huh. You were in charge of this. What doesn't make any sense. I cannot believe, you know,
uh-huh.
And then you were like, and then.
Okay. And then, so this is, he teed me up.
I'm still hot.
You're still hot?
this was like a half hour ago,
I'm
by the
sweating.
Way. So, but I'm still like sweating.
Yeah. Okay. So he came at me pretty hot. And this is a side of Zach that I don't see very often, but
it's a true story. Side of Zach that I don't see very often.
But I do know it's present. I mean, you've described interactions in your household and I've seen parts of this because we've been, you know, partners for a long time now. And my response is I showed up as my best self. This is why this episode is called Why Laura Heck is an Amazing Partner. But what I did was rather than react, which is what the hell, Zach, like, I took a moment and I said to myself, this isn't Zach. This isn't, something has hijacked my buddy, my partner, my clear-headed, logical man that I know and
the leader
and has replaced him with a turd.
Yeah.
A really angry turd. So I said to myself, this isn't Zach. And then I pulled up any information in my head that would have given me a little bit of context as to where you're coming from, because this response that I was getting didn't make sense to me. So I didn't respond. Yep. I didn't react. And I just sort of thought, what do I know about what's going on? And I knew it. And you actually said it out loud. You said, I do not have the capacity to handle this right now. Like you were like, what did you say? Do you remember?
I said, well, we very quickly found out that we had the wrong date. So that
clarified.
So
the emergency
for me,
that
the
you
thing
thought
that
was
I
going
did really
on.
Well, was I said, I blew it. This is on me. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But then I also said, but I literally don't have any bandwidth right now to do like disrupt. I can't, I don't have it. I just don't have it. So let me get off this call right now and then I'll get back to you in a second.
Yeah.
And so, but you were kind. I got off the call and I went and got some water and I reset myself and then I called you back or we got on and the first thing you said was, what's going on? Do you want to fill me in?
You want to talk
and
about
that
it?
That was really kind. It was really kind. It actually is. I sort of said, I'm fine. I'll be fine. Can we please just talk about something fun today? Which turns out we're not doing, I guess. But it's actually really consistent with what we talked about last week, which was this, not last week, but this interview with Jessica, where there's like kind of the attachment stuff and all of what your body does, your kind of your body freaks out. Mm-hmm. And actually the interview we're about to have, which is the same. It's sort of this idea that when you are triggered, your body doesn't remember trauma. It relives trauma. It doesn't, you don't remember this time that you were upset before. Your body actually remembers what it felt like. And so I've been pretty activated for a couple of weeks and was like, had totally like set myself up for just like a nice, peaceful interaction. And then it took one little straw, which wasn't even real. Real straw. And it wasn't even heavy. But I think this is something that I'm really like interested in learning more about for myself and for you. But yes, you did exactly the right thing. And I think we have enough sort of trust in the bank that we were able to kind of rally and we'll see kind of what happens, where we go from here.
I wanted to talk about it sort of step by step, because dissecting these interactions that could have gone really, really poorly, but instead went well, I want to be able to say, this is why this interaction didn't blow up. Because had this interaction gone down between someone, like two people, if I was at my, I had no bandwidth, right? Like if I had been activated, but I wasn't, I mean, just sort of using polyvagal theory, and talking about my nervous system, I'm in a very ventral state. I'm in a happy, la-la, cozy space. I've been sipping on my coffee. I had a great session right before this. I was cool, calm, and collected. And so I was able to manage myself. And that's all it takes in these interactions. And I think that
it's true.
Some people feel like these interactions get away from them. Like they don't have any control over it. But the reality is, like, you can have one partner be totally flipping out and, you know, responding in a really unsafe way. Like, you are just super sympathetic, right? Like, came at me like a pterodactyl. But it only takes one person to change that situation, that dynamic, based on how you respond. And the reason why I was able to respond that way is because I'm not activated.
You're doing all right.
I'm in a space of just hearing you and going, hey, that's weird.
Yeah.
Why are you responding like this to me? That's so strange.
It also reminds me of like the teacher in the classroom who, when the class is rowdy, when she gets louder, they get louder.
Yeah.
But if she's like, or if he's like, hey, you guys, it's time to turn to page 86 and we're going to start to do the thing. Then they're like, wait, what, what's happening? And it sort of, you know,
brings them down,
begins to create a new kind of energy. I don't know what lesson is here for people.
I have some lessons.
Okay.
I'm just warming up here.
All right.
Okay. So, the piece I didn't want to skip over is the moment where I said, hey, like, do you want to continue to do you want to record a podcast right now, or mm-hmm. do you want to take a moment? Which was the invitation of, have you totally lost it? Like, are you emotionally flooded? Do you think that you can gather yourself? And I think that that offering is great when it comes from a partner of like generosity, of just recognizing like something's going on. It might take you 20 minutes or so to kind of like chill, calm down, get to a space where you feel a little more level-headed. And I think that it's important that you question that for yourself. And you did. You're like, no, we need to record. Let's do this. But I will take a couple minutes to myself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really important that you said, I need to go away. So we turned, you know, cameras off and we, you know, got off the phone and we went our separate ways. What did you do during that time?
I got some water. I stopped hurrying because I was hurrying because I was, part of my morning was I had this commitment, a half an hour away. No, I had an eight. So we started at 9. I had to be somewhere at 8:30 and that place was 25 minutes away from here.
So you're already stressing.
So I was rushing. Like hurrying and running and like, wait, and how do I get this right? And so I just slowed down, took a bunch of deep breaths, got my water, got over myself a little bit. Cause I think that's the other thing, right? It's when people dig in, and they go into this, I was talking to a client yesterday actually, and talking a little bit about, what happens when we get escalated and how we go to some very protective measures, which often look very childish or adolescent. Right. And I was like, imagine, I said, how many kids do you have? She goes, 3. I go, how old are they? She's like 9, 7, and 5. And I was like, okay, imagine that your house is on fire and you like needed to get away from your house as fast as possible. And you run out of the house and you look at the 7-year-old like, you drive, you know, like
put them in charge. Yeah.
Like, it's not fair. It's not kind. It's not okay. So I think I was like in my sort of, 7, 14, 12-year-old, whatever brain, or maybe even my last week brain. And I said, I need to drive. Zach needs to, like, you, the grown up needs to drive here. So, so I just kind of slowed down and did my thing. And, I think that's going to be different for everybody. Of course, you know, this gal that I was talking to yesterday in my office, she has different skills that she uses or taps into when she's going into some of those more, impulsive places. So, I think part of wisdom is figuring out, what those things are for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's important to just look at this situation and kind of be curious about our listeners. Like, what do you do? Like, what would you do if your 7-year-old was driving in that moment? What would you do if your partner extended just a little bit of grace and said, hey, do you need a moment?
Yeah.
Do you need to just like, I can give you a moment. Like, I'd love to do this with you today, but if for whatever reason you need like 15, 20 minutes, just kind of like regroup, into, you know, your 80-year-old Zach. Just kidding. You're not 80. Are you 50 yet?
No,
I'll be
49 next month.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll be at your 50th for sure.
Yeah. If I make it.
If I make it.
No, I was talking to, I think we've talked about this a lot of times, several times before, but maybe somebody hasn't heard it yet, but I was talking to a couple yesterday and it's sort of, you used this phrase a little bit earlier. I think you said reverse engineer, like what's going on here, but
that's the phrase you use.
I like it a lot because it helps, if you surface it, it can help you find the thing that you're looking for, because I know for a fact how to guarantee that a conversation is not going to go well with Rebecca. I know exactly what to do. I wait till she gets in the shower. I go into the next room. I turn on the television, probably an athletics event, like a football game. I turn it up. I go to the next room and I pour a drink. I know that's not really my jam anymore, but like I make sure that I'm like a little more lubricated or a little more distracted. And then I pick up the credit card bill and I say, Hey, tell me about this charge that I don't recognize.
While she's in the shower.
While she's in the shower across the football game and maybe a little bit drunk. 100%. That's not going to go well. 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ruin that conversation. So
totally.
How do you reverse engineer it? Right. And so I had this conversation with a couple yesterday and I said, hey, do you know how to guarantee the conversation is not going to go well? And it was fun because they went for it. Like they started describing it and I go, cool. Awesome. Now what's the opposite? Let's go step by step. You know, in my case, it's, hey, when you get out of the shower, can I ask you a couple questions about this latest credit card bill? We can wait till the kids go to bed and I'll bring a glass of wine.
Okay.
Take 10 minutes.
Great.
Would that be cool?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, totally. Thank you so much. And then we go and we figure it out and it turns out, oh, it's no big deal. It's actually my fault. I actually made this unknown $500 charge to, you know, some subscription that I have to some, nice. You know, oh my gosh, I got to go cancel that or whatever. But yeah, it takes slowing down. But I think to your question to our listeners is exactly that. If you could guarantee it was going to go poorly.
Right.
What's the opposite?
Yeah. You know how I would have guaranteed this conversation would have gone really poorly between the two of us? Like you show up as you normally did, but like, how do I guarantee that I would have shown up as my, you know, like my 12-year-old self or my punk 13-year-old or something?
Yeah.
I would have guaranteed, like I would have been hungry because I get hangry. Okay. So I would have like maybe starved myself this morning and not had breakfast, no coffee, no sleep. And I think what I probably would have done is I would have counterattacked and blamed you. I would have just said like, because I think what you said was, Laura, this is your responsibility.
Yeah.
And everything inside of me wanted to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're pointing out my, like, you're picking on me.
I was going straight for the jugular. And you know what's weird is I knew it. Uh-huh. I knew it at the time. I knew that like I was taking a chance at like finally blowing my top and saying something that I have chosen in the past to say differently, you know, and because again, we're not married and you don't owe me anything technically. And we don't, there's not a lot of stakes and you could very easily just say, fuck off and like hang up and go away. Like that could be a thing that, that happens. But so there is a little bit of a dance, but I knew it today. I knew that I was saying the thing that was going to, trigger is the right word, but that was going to elicit or could at least elicit a powerful response.
Reaction or
shame response even, right? Like, I think I was trying to shame you, which I don't think I had words for a half hour ago, but I'm kind of like, when you just said that, I was like, oh, I knew exactly what I was doing. Well, why was I doing that? In part is because, you know, part of my low bandwidth right now is I have a lot of, I don't know if shame is the right word, but I have a lot of like insecurity about a lot of things right now, related to the people in my life. And I didn't need one more, like I needed to feel secure. I needed to feel competent.
You needed to feel like I had you.
I needed to feel like I'm not the fuck up here. Right. Like, because I'm wondering about that with this one kid. I'm wondering about that with my wife. I'm wondering about that with my job. I'm wondering about with this other thing that's happening with my other kid. I'm wondering about that with my, you know, whatever, we just crossed Mother's Day. And so I've got all kinds of like wrapped up, like, did I do that right stuff? And so it's like, I'm just sort of thinking about it. And I feel a little bit at a disadvantage because of course this is my job, right? I get to think about this stuff all the time. For the layperson or person who's just sort of kind of muddling through or trying to make its way, or they've stumbled upon Marriage Therapy Radio one day, it's not something that you should expect to be able to do quickly or well. But it is something that you ought to call a priority. I don't remember if we talked about this last time or not. This has been on my mind a lot. The Eisenhower matrix about importance versus urgency.
So yes, we have
matrices. Well, quadrants, right? Quadrants have plus, 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 minus, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And the Eisenhower matrix is about, you know, looking at your to-do list and trying to figure out where it falls on the matrix relative to how important is it and how urgent is it. Mm-hmm. And so businesses, for example, that thrive, they get to spend a lot of time on things that are important, but not urgent.
Right.
Marriages that thrive, they spend time on things that are important, but not urgent. Mm-hmm. Urgency brings people into our offices. Mm-hmm. Urgency sends people to a self-help book. Urgency sends them to a podcast. And sometimes it's really hard because you do have to do the important thing, the urgent thing, especially if it's important.
Yeah.
If the urgent thing is not important, it's annoying, but it's like, oh, I got to do this thing. You know, some people, a lot of people, me, sometimes will procrastinate. Those are not important, not urgent things.
Right.
So what I'm, I guess what I'm, why my brain went here is because becoming attuned to what you're feeling and why you're feeling it and what's going on. That's the important, not urgent work. That when you come to the urgent thing, which was this 9 o'clock meeting that we had to do. And
yeah,
you can maybe tap into the part that you've done before, which is go, wait a second. Laura tapped into, wait a second.
This feels important.
This feels like, or rather what's the important, not urgent thing is. And then sometimes mm-hmm. that's, how are you? Mm-hmm. What's going on? It's not, I mean, in some cases, maybe even if I was in enough, you know, distress, it was, let's not do the meeting today. Let's just cancel mm-hmm. with this guy and do something else. Like that can be fine too. So I don't know, dude, like it's, it's complicated.
Yeah. I think what's happening is what you're listening to in real time is, space to just think out loud. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think you came to something really important that was good for me to hear, which was, Laura, this wasn't about you.
Yeah.
It would have been really frustrating had we missed this meeting, but it was a misunderstanding and we didn't miss the meeting, but
my behavior wasn't about you.
Your behavior was not about me. Yeah. And because we have such a history of trust built up and good feelings toward one another. And I know you, like, I know what's going on. I'm staying connected to your life.
Yeah.
You know, in Gottman's, this would be love mapping. Mm-hmm. I have made it a point to understand what's going on in your life so that when you come at me with something that your 12-year-old, I go, hey, this isn't Zach. What's going on here? And then I have a hypothesis, and my hypothesis is this isn't about me, which means that I don't have to defend myself.
Right.
It's not about me.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of things that set us up for success in this moment of, for this interaction to go well, for us to recover very quickly. It was maybe a 5-10 minute break between two conversations and then we hit record and now we're talking about it.
I think
you said, let's talk about something light. And I was like, actually, I think that this is an opportunity to kind of repair. This is the repair conversation happening in real time.
The other like little hip pocket tip that I would give listeners is this thing that I say to clients all the time, which is think about the possibility that every single time your partner speaks to you, they are talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. They're not talking about you. And I always say, even if they come in the room and go, hey, you big dumb jerk. In this case, that's what I did. I said, hey, Laura, you big dumb jerk. And you mm-hmm. said, well, wait a second. I know I'm not a big dumb jerk.
True.
What's going on? Maybe Zach mm-hmm. is flooded, which I was, or maybe he's, maybe he's sleepwalking, or maybe he's thinks he's talking to somebody else, or, mm-hmm. but delay the possibility that you are the big dumb, you have to defend being a big dumb jerk long enough to go, what else could possibly be happening here? And mm-hmm. and you might be wrong, but at least you won't go into your sort of darker impulses. So,
well, okay. The other piece is it's very easy for me to say, why are you calling me a big dumb jerk? And then all of a sudden that's something that I say to myself, right? Like if I was not ventral, if I was not cool, calm and collected and in a competent space, I might hear you say, hey, you big dumb jerk and go, I am a big dumb jerk. Why are you mm-hmm. calling me a big dumb jerk? I didn't do anything to you. And that mm-hmm. triggers something inside of me, but I'm in a happy floaty space right now.
Good for you. I'm glad for that for you. I know that you have stuff going on too. So that's exciting. That's good to hear. It's good. It's actually good to meet happy people sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel really healthy but right now it is a challenge to stay happy. So that is, that's the work for the moment.
Yeah.
But but all things considered, this is a really exciting time for us. We have a couple of really cool interviews coming up. We have some cool changes coming to the podcast that we look forward to telling you about, people out there in marriage therapy radio land. And, yeah, we have a couple cool opportunity that we haven't told you about yet that's happening as well. So all of that will become clear here in a little bit. So stay tuned, I think.
Stay tuned. I like it. Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope this was helpful. And Zach, I hope you have some time to yourself to just like,
I have a little bit of time to myself. I have my therapist today, whom I love. I have a massage today, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah.
And then I am on duty for my three wives, 15, 19, 48. I am on full time.
All right. Well, let's land this plane.
Thanks,
Thank you for talking it out with me.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I hope that these types of conversations in real time, just sort of listening to what is it like when two therapists, kind of have a breach, a moment that doesn't go well. What does it sound like when they try and fix it and repair? I hope it's helpful. I think you probably understand that, you know, there's good times in life and there's bad times, and we're just in a season. And so you're walking this journey with us as we walk this journey with you. Thanks so much for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.